Easter matters, doesn't it? Would you help me welcome our campuses that are joining with us today? Love and Truth Church is a multi-site church, and so we're glad you're with us today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. I'm glad you're there today, whatever campus you've joined us at. I know you've already had an exciting time of worship on this Easter day, and now we're getting ready to go together into the Word of the Lord. So let's prepare our hearts today to receive what it is that God's going to speak to us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, with whom there is no shadow of turning. And so in this moment, as we get ready to go into the Word of the Lord, as we celebrate this Holy Week, this Easter season, and this Easter Sunday morning, we come today believing that you love us more than we will ever understand. And God, this day we come and we open our hearts to you to receive what you would speak to us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hundreds of years, the children of Israel had been in Egyptians' bondage, and they had cried out to God over and over and over, God, deliver us, get us out of here, we're tired of being here. Because of the greatness of the burdens that had been placed upon them, they literally were slaves to the Egyptians. And so God, after 430 years, the scripture says, sends them a deliverer, his name is Moses. Most of us have heard that name. Most of us maybe have seen a movie or something about Moses. What we may not know is that Moses has a confrontation with the king who is called Pharaoh of Egypt. And that king and Moses go around and around as Moses is doing his best to get the children of Israel set free because they were God's chosen people. And so the Word of God says that after 9 different plagues, God sent everything from turning water into blood to infesting the land with flies, et cetera, et cetera. God told the children of Israel, he said, I'm going to do one more, the 10th one, the 10th plague. And he said, here's what you do. He said, I'm getting ready to send the death angel, and it's going to pass over the land. And here's what you do. If you want your family protected, if you want yourself protected, then what you're to do is you're to take a lamb, you're to slay that lamb, and you're to take the blood, and you're to put it on the doorpost and on the either side of your door. And when the angel sees that, the angel will pass over you. The Word of God lets us know that the children of Israel had that happen in their life, and God delivered them with his mighty hand. And from that day, 3,300 plus years later, the children of Israel still to this day, every year this season, they celebrate, they come together, and they celebrate what they call Passover. In fact, if you are a Jewish family, you just celebrated Passover on Friday evening as you came together and you celebrated what God did for you through the Egyptian bondage and deliverance there. Years later, the Word of God says in the book of Mark, and if you want to go there, the book of Mark, the 14th chapter, Jesus has now appeared on the scene. And the scripture says in the 12th verse of the 14th chapter of the book of Mark, it says, and on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, said to him, where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? Here's Jesus now, thousands of years later, he's shown up, and the scripture says that he is getting ready to celebrate this feast, this time together. Verse 22 says this, and as they were eating, Jesus, he took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, take, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to them, this is my blood of the covenant which is poured out for many. Now, what we have to understand is this, is that Jesus Christ became our Passover lamb. If you believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, you believe he was the Son of God, then what he came for was to die so that you and I could be set free. In fact, here's what I want to talk about today. My subject today is paid in full. Paid in full. Have you ever got a bill that you know you had to pay on for a while, and after a year or 5 years or 10 years, all of a sudden you make that last payment? Woo! Some of you getting set free right now, aren't you? You pay that last payment, and then you get in the mail that bill that's stamped with that red ink that says paid in full. Man, that's a Holy Ghost moment, isn't it? I mean, that's one of those moments you go, yes, it's paid in full. Well, that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. In fact, the book of John, the first chapter and the 29th verse, John the Baptist is baptizing, and it says this. It says, the next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said this, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus came for, was to deliver you and I from our sin. Now, let me settle this real quickly for you. If you don't think you've sinned, just ask somebody who knows you. Right? That pretty well settles it, doesn't it? Okay? Here's what the Word of God says to make you feel better. The Word of God says that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. So in our lives, we've all sinned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the psalmist says this in Psalm 103. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many of you like benefits? Come on. I'm going to wait on you. All right, campuses as well. Raise your hand, all right? Okay, you get ready to go to work for somebody and they say, okay, we're going to pay you this salary. We're going to give you this. And after they get through with all that, you look at them and say, okay, what's the benefits? Because you want to know what the benefits are. Or in your life, you're going to go out to lunch at some point today, and you're going to ask, what are the benefits that come with that steak? I get a baked potato, I get a salad. You know, we love benefits. Well, here's the deal. The children of Israel got some benefits when God delivered them out of Egyptian's bondage, and you and I experienced those same benefits when we received Jesus Christ into our life. I want to talk about some of them today. The first benefit that they received, number one, was that they were protected from death. Now, think about this for a minute. They had been in Egyptian's bondage. They had been slaves for hundreds of years, and I want to tell you, if you're a slave, you don't have any hope for tomorrow. All you're waiting for is to die. Okay? Don't miss that. I mean, if you're a slave, it's not like you're going to get out of here. It's not like you're going to get freed from this. It is, I get up in the morning, somebody's going to tell me what to do, where to go, how hard to work, all these things. And so they lived in this place of death. But when God came along to deliver them, he gave them a deliverance from death. Here's the whole deal about death. Death separates humanity from some things in our lives. The first thing that it separates us from is it separates us from our body. You know, as soon as you get the word that one of your friends or relatives has died, you don't expect that body to be the way it was the last time you saw it, right? Why? Because now there has been this separation from their body. The Word of God calls it our spirit leaves our body, and the only thing that's left there is kind of the, you know, what we were. Now, the great thing is that we understand as Christians that one day God is going to resurrect us, and we're going, the Bible says we're going to be given a new body, and that's going to be wonderful, right? But we're separated from, the second thing that we're separated from is we're separated from our loved ones. Okay? It's interesting that as Christians, as believers, we understand that Scripture says, the Apostle Paul talking says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. In other words, he's saying, to die, I'm going to heaven. And as Christians, we know that, we understand that, but there's still that sadness when we lose a loved one, when a family member or a friend dies that we're close to, there's still that sadness. But what we know is that even though they are separated from us for a season, that if our hope is in Jesus Christ, that one day again, we are going to see them, even though we have been separated from them for a time here upon this earth. The last thing that we're separated from when death comes is we're separated from our purpose here on earth. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a destiny. Everybody, I believe, everybody has something great inside of them. In fact, let's do this. Would you help me today? Would you just look at your neighbor and say, there's something great in you? Come on, do it. Do it like you mean it. Do it with some enthusiasm, right? There's something great down inside of you. You say, Pastor, they're hiding it real well. Oh, don't do that to them, right? There's something great. And a lot of times, we've even said things like, well, man, they died way too young. They still had so much potential. Why? Because that's what death does to us. But you know what? The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, listen to what it says. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? And then it says, the sting of death is sin. Well, we've been set free from sin, and the power of sin is the law. Well, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. So it goes on to say, but thanks be to God who gives us the
victory.
I need to convince some of you. We've been given victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it this way, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The scripture says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so we come to that place today of saying, praise God, on this Easter Sunday morning, we are able to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that even if this body lays down, it's getting back up, and we are going to see Jesus, and we're going to spend an eternity with him. And that is an unbelievable benefit that we receive, right? The second benefit is the children of Israel were released from Egyptians' bondage. Well, we're released from sin, okay? In other words, when they were released from Egyptians' bondage, sin, Pharaoh was no longer the ruler of their life, okay? Now, understand this. For hundreds of years, they had been slaves. And when you're a slave, you don't have any rights. You get up, you do what you're told. You go to work when you're told to. You work until they tell you to quit. You don't do it right. They beat you. They treat you like an animal. This is what's been going on for hundreds of years. In that moment, God delivers them, okay? It's the same way with us. When we come in a relationship with the Lord, as I began to think about this a few months ago, putting this series together, I saw something in a way that I hadn't thought about it before. And I've been doing this a long time. I thought I'd thought of everything at one point, right? But I began to think about this whole aspect of sin. The Bible says this about us. It says that if we are not in relationship with Jesus Christ, that we are a slave to sin. Now think about that for a minute. That means, how many of you know, I'll just ask it this way, how many of you know that before you got saved, you just sinned? I mean, you just sinned, right? You just did it. Two or three honest people in the house, right? You didn't think about it. I mean, you just got up to, I mean, you just did it because you were dominated by the devil. The enemy dominated. He held it over you, and it wasn't, I want to sin. It's just, I just sinned. Why? Because I'm dominated by the devil and by sin. And I want to tell you, I believe there's a devil. I believe Lucifer is still alive. I believe evil still operates in this world. And if you don't believe that, all you've got to do is see another school shooting or another mass murder or something to know that the enemy is still real, right? Now, why is it? So we have lived under that system. And the day you got saved, here's what most of us do. We think the day that we get saved, that we trade one boss for another one. We kind of have this mentality, well, I used to serve the devil, and now I'm going to serve Jesus. Now, let me mess with that for a minute with you, okay? First of all, Jesus and the devil are not equal. The Bible says that Satan is not under Jesus' feet. That says Satan is underneath our feet as believers. Okay? So the Bible says he's a defeated foe. But what you have to understand is this, is that when you come in a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you are released from your sin, what happens in that moment, it's kind of like a law partnership. In that moment, God becomes your partner. Now think about that for a minute. He's not your boss. Because that's how we've related to him. Well, I got to do this or I'm going to go to hell. Come on. You better do the right thing or God's going to get you. Come on, you know you've heard that, right? I mean, I've walked in the halls of churches before and parents will use me as the pastor to get on their kids. You better watch it. The pastor's coming. I'm not the boogeyman. Cut that mess out. Handle your own kids. Quit laying it on me. Don't make me the bad one, right? And that's how we do God. God's going to get you. And yet God says, no, no, no. I sent my only begotten Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be what? Saved, right? So I come into partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the deal about sin, and we'll talk a little bit about it. Well, I am released not from the presence of sin. How many of you know when you get saved, sin's still around? Ever wanted to do some things you shouldn't do? Ever wanted to smack some people you shouldn't smack? Right? I mean, come on. There's all these things that are working down inside of us, and there's the presence of sin all around us. Also, I'm not released from the possibility of sin. I can still sin. You say, Pastor, how can you say you can still sin? Because I have. I'll wait. Because I have. Well, you're a backslider. No, I'm not. I'm God's child. I'm secure in what God's done for me. I've been saved from my sin. Now, here's the deal. We have this idea that God is this domineering, overprotective, holding us down, and we can't do anything except what God tells us to do. No, no, no. God's alongside of us. And he said, here's what I want to do. I want to be your helper. In fact, he said it this way. He said, I'm going to go away. And he said, it's needful that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit, the helper, cannot come. He said, I want to help you to learn to live above sin. But we might as well admit it, Christians sin. And when I sin, God doesn't kick me out of the family. I'm still his child. He just comes along and says, straighten up. Get it right. Let's go. The Bible says it this way. The righteous falls 7 times, but he gets back up. And he just keeps going. And she just keeps saying, I know I fell, but I'm not laying here and wallowing in the mire of what I have done. I have been forgiven by God Almighty. See, what I'm not released in that moment from the presence of sin, and I'm not released from the possibility of sin, but I am released from the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ paid the price. That's what I'm talking about today. It has been paid in full. When you came to the Lord, if you've made that decision, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus Christ right now, what has happened to you is just like that bill that came in the mail stamped. Jesus Christ has stamped on you, paid in full. And when the devil shows up, he can't get to you unless you let him. If you let now, if you give in, the Bible says it this way. Let's deal with that for a minute. The Bible says that each and every one of us sin when we are carried away by our own strong desire. Okay? So when I decide I want to do that, God says, okay, I'm not going to stop you. You do it. Now you're going to have some consequences. There's going to be some problems, but you're still my child. Come on, you ever had a 16-year-old and give them the keys of the car? Come on, how many of you been through that? Hold your hand up. And it's fear and trembling, isn't it? And you look at them and say, don't you drive fast? And don't you have anybody in the car with you that shouldn't be? I mean, you give them all this stuff. I see parents looking at kids right now saying, Pastor's talking to you. Listen carefully. Right? But then they leave. And when our kids were at that age, you didn't have cell phones and all the stuff you got now. You know, now you can kind of track them, find where they're at. Back then, once they were gone, they were gone, right? And there had to come that moment. And you know what? Sometimes you got those phone calls late at night. Hey, Dad, can you come get me? I'm out here stuck. What are you doing? Well, me and some of the guys thought, big doofus. I think God says that to some of us sometimes. I know that's not your God. Maybe it's mine. I think he's looking and go, you big dummy, what are you doing? Right? But he didn't kick us out of the family. He's already paid the penalty for my sin. Listen, if I believe that my sins yesterday are forgiven, I believe my sins for tomorrow are forgiven as well. The penalty has already been paid. Not only does he do that, the children of Israel, listen to this about the children of Israel. The scripture says that God spoke to them and said, Moses, tell all the ladies of Israel to go to the ladies of Egypt and to say to them, I want all your gold, all your silver, and all your fine clothes. And the word of God says that they were obedient, the women were obedient, and they went to all their neighbors and they said, Miss Egyptian woman, I want all your gold, all your silver, and yet while you're at it, just throw in some really nice gowns and stuff that you wore. And the Bible says the Egyptian women went, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here you go, and gave them. In fact, the Bible talks about it, that when the children of Israel left Egyptians' bondage, that they were loaded down with stuff. Wouldn't you like to be loaded down? Now, some of you have been loaded because I stopped right there. Just seeing if you're going with the sermon or you got lost somewhere. How many of you don't get loaded? Get loaded down with stuff, okay? That's what they had. Now, here's what God did. God rescued them from poverty, all right? One of the things that Jesus Christ does is that he rescues us from poverty. Now, don't just think money. I'll talk a little bit about this. Don't just think money, though, because here's what poverty does. Poverty binds us. It wraps us in chains. Poverty grinds on us, and then poverty blinds us to what it is that we can do to fulfill the blessings of God. Now listen. Here's what you have to understand. In your life, poverty shows. In fact, let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever been in bondage because of poverty? Okay, let's do it this way because some of you missed it. The credit card came in the mail. And you said, whoo, yes, this is my answer. $10,000 credit. I mean, you shouted. You went all over the place looking and you spent. You went from Target to Macy's to Kohl's to every place you could find and bought everything you could, and it felt good for 30 days. And then Chase Manhattan, whoever, showed up in the mailbox. And it says, for the next 229 years, you owe me your life. All of a sudden, bondage set in, didn't it? Bondage grinds us down. The bondage of poverty keeps you. And again, you can be in poverty in your spirit, in your soul, in your family. There's the poverty mentality that sets in the people. See, a poverty mentality is not about money. A poverty mentality says that the only way that I can get ahead is to keep you down. Instead of understanding that God is a God of more than enough. And so if I can be blessed, you can be blessed as well. And it blinds us to the future. It blinds us to everything that God has for us. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says it this way. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, and I looked that word up, and guess what? I say this a lot. Guess what that word meant? Rich. All right? Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, it meant rich. English, it means rich. I mean, his streets are paved with gold, that's pretty rich. He's got a gate made out of one pearl, that's pretty rich. I mean, he's got some stuff in the heavenlies. And though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. I've been rescued from poverty. I don't have to have a poverty mentality. I can walk in the blessings of God. And the last thing that happened to them is that they were delivered from bondage. They were brought completely out. In fact, if you study the progression, the first thing that happened was that God delivered them out of Egypt. And then they got to the Red Sea. And as they got to the Red Sea, there's somewhere around 3 million Israelites at the Red Sea. It's flooded. It's above its banks. And in this moment, they turn around and look, and Pharaoh has changed his mind. And so he has sent his entire army out to get them. And the word of God says that they turn around and the Israelites freak. Okay, it doesn't say it that way. All right. I think the King James Version says they became greatly distressed. They freaked. All right? And they said, Moses, you brought us out here, and now we're going to die, and went through all this. And God put a cloud between the children of Israel and the Egyptian army. And the Bible says God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, you know that staff you've had in your hand all this time you've been leading the sheep for 40 years in the wilderness? He said, take that staff, walk up to the Red Sea, and hold it out and see what I do. And the Word of God says that God sent, and I believe He did it. I don't believe it was a movie prop. I don't believe it was in theory or whatever. I believe that God sent a wind, and it blew the waves back, and that on either side there was walls of water as the wind blew. And the Bible says God completely dried out the ground. The next morning, the children of Israel look up, and there is a path to the other side. And they go through it, and they're shouting, and they're dancing, and they're praising God because He has delivered them. And somebody looks around and says, whoops, look. Right? Because behind them, the Egyptian army said, well, if they can do it, we can do it too. And God let the Egyptian army, the entire Egyptian army, get into the Red Sea. And then God said, okay, now's enough. And He drowned them in the Red Sea. He delivered them through the Red Sea, delivered them from their past. And the Bible says that for the next 40 years, that the Holy Spirit of God showed up in a cloud by day and a fire by night to direct them, to lead them, and to guide them. And even as they went into the promised land, the presence of the Holy Spirit was with them. You say, Pastor, oh, that's wonderful. How do we apply that to our lives? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because that's where we read today. It's where Jesus gathers together to celebrate Passover. And in there He says, this is My body, which is going to be sacrificed for you. In other words, the penalty is going to be paid for your sin. Now the biblical word for that, the theological word for that, is atonement. The word atonement means that the price has been paid. Jesus Christ atoned for your sins. He said, My body is going to be given. In fact, the Scripture says that after Jesus experienced the excruciating time before the cross, they took Him and they beat Him with a cat of nine tails. They took and they put a crown of thorns upon His head, and they took rods and they beat that crown of thorns literally into His skull. Many of you saw the Passion of the Christ a few years ago, and the gore and how horrible that looked, according to what you read with Josephus and other scholars of the day, does not compare to what Jesus Christ really went through. And He finally gets to Golgotha. He finally gets to Calvary. And the Bible says that these soldiers are standing there getting ready to crucify Him, getting ready to put spikes in His hand and spikes in His feet. And when they come up to Him, Jesus looks at them and He said, hey guys, you don't take My life, I give it. What was He saying? He was saying, look, I choose to pay this penalty. The Word of God goes on to say that same night that He took this cup and He said, this is the cup of My blood. Now, it wasn't actually His blood. It was the fruit of the vine. But He said, this is a sign of a new covenant that you are going to have with God Almighty. And I challenge you over the next few minutes as I wrap this sermon up that you get down inside of you today some things. And that is this, you need to understand today that the first thing that happens in your life when you come to Jesus Christ is salvation from your sin. Just like the children of Israel received salvation, you and I receive salvation. How do we get there? Well, we get there through repentance. The Word of God tells us to repent. That means to get away from how you used to live and start living the way God wants you to live. The children of Israel had to, in that moment, quit living that old life and turn away and begin to go into everything that it was that God had for them and for their life. They had to leave that old place. They had to leave that place of bondage and move in to a new place with the Lord. So the Apostle Peter calls it repentance. Not only did they have to do that, they had to bury their past. That's what baptism is all about. Baptism, the Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. Why? Because I want that past buried. When I come to Jesus and ask him to forgive me, I am in a relationship with him. He is now my Savior. He is my Lord. But I don't want the Egyptian army coming after me. I don't want my past ruling over me. And then lastly, I receive his power. The Holy Spirit comes into my life. That cloud and fire is typified by coming into our life. The Apostle Peter went on to say, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he went on to say, for the promise is to you and to your children and anybody that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And so today, here we are. We're in this moment today to say, you know what? I get to participate in what it is that Jesus Christ has done for me. This Easter Sunday. Now, you may have come today because somebody invited you, and I'm so glad you did. Maybe somebody asked you as a family member, said, hey, would you go? And you said, yeah, it's Easter, let's go. But you know what? We don't think you just showed up here. We've prayed for you this week. We've believed this week that God has a plan for your life in this moment. And so I'm going to ask you for the next 3 minutes to make this a holy place and stay right where you are. Because here's what I want to do. I want to take you, we've never done this before, but I felt to do this. Everybody, and those of you watching as well, you got an Easter card today. Would you pick that up? Everybody throughout the house. All right? There's an Easter card. And here's what I want to challenge. I want to challenge you, whether you've been saved for 50 years or maybe you're not in relationship with Jesus, that you'd go with me on this journey just for the next couple of minutes here. And I want us to take this. You've got a pen there. I want you to take a moment and fill this out with me, okay? Would you do that? All right, let's look at it. It says, I freely acknowledge that I have not lived up to the perfect moral standards of a holy God. Now, listen, I'm checking that one real big, all right? In fact, I'm going to check it again because I know me, all right? I don't know about you, but I know I'm failed that one. It says, I understand that my wrongdoings must be atoned, must be paid for to satisfy the demands of God's justice. Well, that's what I've talked about today, so would you just check that off real quick? Thirdly, I understand that only Jesus can forgive my sins. Listen, there's no other way to be saved, no other way you can come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you take just a moment and check that off? And lastly, I humbly ask that Christ's atoning work be applied to all my wrongdoing. Lord, I want you today. Come on, if you want that today, just check that off. And just say, Lord, I want you in this moment to cover up everything in my life. For some of you, this is a recommitment today. You've been saved for a long time. But today, on Easter Sunday 2018, would you take just a moment and would you just sign this if you're making that commitment today or remaking that commitment? And just put your name on there and say, today, I'm making a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been away from the Lord for a while, or maybe you've been serving God for years, but today you're renewing that commitment with God Almighty.